Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. A pleasant Thursday afternoon to a beautiful day today. Might be a couple showers tomorrow morning, that's it. But Saturday should be a gorgeous day for football in State College and in Lewisburg. We'll talk high school football today. Mifflinburg will be at State College, or at Selinsgrove, Pat O'Brien and Ryan Bramble have the call on Eagle 107. Dave Ritchie's going to join us. Shikalimi will be at Central Mountain. Kevin Herr and Dave have the call at 6:30 on WKOK Friday night. Steve Williams will have Montoursville at home with Milton. Steve will be joined by Brett Michaels on that one on Talk Radio 1380 WMLP at 6:30 Friday night. And Matt Cotrillo is going to join us for Lewisburg at Central Columbia. Matt will be with us in the studio. He'll be joined by Justin Michaels on 100.9 The Valley tomorrow night at 6:30. Doug Birdsong is going to join us to talk about Lehigh Bucknell at 4:06 today. Be a 1 o'clock start, 12:30 the airtime at Eagle 107 Saturday. And Dr. Robert Lombardi, the executive director of the PIAA, is going to be here to talk about the new classifications that will start in 16-17 that were approved last night that Kevin has whined, moaned, and complained about for years on this show.
And I'm looking forward to seeing how they are going to be implemented and what impact they feel it will have.
I'm excited. All right. Okay. Additional topics from Kevin. Did the Pirates go with the wrong lineup last night? How do the Cubs match up with the Cardinals? Was the best divisional series on paper?
No, wait, these are all individual things, not all one lumped sum.
How do the Pirates get to the next level in 16? Let's see. Inside MD Sports reporting that Randy Etzel will be fired this week. Some reports have players not responding to him. Why did they give him an extension in June, then fire him before the bye week next week? How common is it to fire a college coach midseason? Those are the Kevin topics. Lines open at 1-800-795-9565. What? Did I bypass your stuff?
Slightly, yeah, but that's all right.
Oh. All right, good question. Let's start.
Those are good questions.
Well, let's start with the Pirates. What did I say on yesterday's show before the game?
Play your best lineup or something to that effect.
No. I said play your best offensive lineup.
Best offensive lineup. Well, that's what I was referring to, but you're right. No. You did say offensive lineup, yes.
Okay. You when you get to – I've been around enough in the Cardinals organization now as to the mindset that permeates from Tony La Russa down – as to what the mindset is. And I've always been told that the La Russa theory was that when you got to a deciding game, whether it's a one-game playoff, a seventh game of a series, or like in the division series, a fifth game, the standard is to go with your best offensive lineup. Last night, which team went with its best offensive lineup? The Chicago Cubs. Which team won? How many starts this year did Kyle Schwarber have in right field? 8. But you know what? They needed his bat in the lineup, so Joe Maddon started him. And guess who drove in 3 runs last night? Kyle Schwarber. Now, would the lineup have made any difference at all in this game against Jake Arrieta? No. Okay, let's be upfront about that to start the show. It's not going to make a difference against Jake Arrieta. He was just that good last night. But what I saw last night from the Pirates was threefold. They were, from the manager to the starting pitcher to the lineup, tight, tight, tight. The manager overthought it and started that lineup. Did you see the look on Cole's face in the dugout after the top of the first, after he gave up a run? He was distraught. Distraught. Okay. And then you see how they handle the rest of the game at the plate. Then you go to the Tony Watson thing hitting Arrieta. Tight, 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 tight. I'm sorry. I mean, championship teams don't play tight. They play confident. They play loose. Okay? Manager goes out there, right, and sets the tone by handing the lineup card and tells his team right away, so we're going to go, we're going to slug this sucker. Okay? Now, again, would it have made a difference against Arrieta last night? No. Okay, so we've got that premise out there. But you set the tone in your own clubhouse by putting the lineup card, and they look at it and go, hey, all right, we got our guys in there tonight. Here we go. Let's go get them. Okay? And then your starting pitcher is your 19-game winner, needs to go out and pitch like, I gave up a run, so what? Come on, everybody, let's get that back. Let's go. He's in the dugout, and it just you look at him just shaking his head and looking over at Sears, shaking his head like, I blew it. I mean, what's going on here? Okay, if I'm a Pirate fan, that performance bothers me last night because it was managed tight, it was pitched tight, it was performed tight, and then you go and hit him. You're telling me Arrieta deliberately hit two Pirates last night? Really? Okay, a team that hasn't won a playoff game in 12 years, he wants to put guys on base. You know what? I'm going to put some guys on base. It'll be more exciting. Really, it'll be really more exciting. It'll be a lot more fun. Let's see the challenge in that. He doesn't want anybody on base. He got a little out of control as the game went. You notice his location up, down, especially up. After the fifth inning, got a little bit squirrely on him at times, and he was kind of having trouble getting the ball back in the zone a little bit from the sixth, seventh inning and the eighth inning. Ninth inning, he was pretty good. But six, seven, and eight, it wasn't the same 1-2 counts that we saw in the first five innings. I mean, every time he turned around, it was a 1-2 count. He just, in the fifth, in the sixth, seventh, and eighth, he got a little bit off kilter, right? But then they hit him in the seventh. Like, what the hell are you doing out there? Hey, what kind of team am I rooting for here? I mean, I was embarrassed when I saw that.
Well, I'm a big Pirates fan, and if I had been Clint Hurdle, there's two things I would have done last night differently. First, I wouldn't have waited till Watson came in to plink Arrieta. I'd have gotten him in the third inning just to set a tone. And second, I'm only kidding about that.
Bob's like, I would throw at him. Make sure it hits him in the helmet.
Although, Steve, I disagree a little bit. I think the throw that Arrieta went at Cervelli looked like it was going right for his head.
Absolutely not, Bobby. The pitch got away from him. He doesn't want Cervelli. Why does he want Cervelli on base? Why? You're in a winner take all one game playoff.
I get all of that.
Why do you want him on base? Well, there's no reason to have him on base.
To send the message. Send the message to the rest of the Pirates.
What message?
You crowd the plate.
You got control
I'm gonna get
over
shin
him.
Music.
No,
but here's
Bob,
the second. I'm
there's
only
no way. There's,
Steve.
Bob,
I'm kidding.
Bob, Bob, there's no way he threw at him. There's no way.
Did I mention I'm kidding?
I know, but I'm saying, there's no way he threw at him.
But
no
now,
way.
On a serious point, okay. I thought one of the strengths of the Pirates would be team speed.
Yeah.
I would have thought, not about stealing bases, have the Pirates heard of the bunt? Has Clint Hurdle thought about that? There were some opportunities there with Polanco, Marte, to lay one down the third baseline, make them play the ball. And
What did Joe Maddon do with Fowler?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they got into Gerrit Cole's head away. They ran him.
No question. And by the way, local a note of local interest, you know where Mr. Madden is from, don't you?
Hey, he's from Hazleton. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now listen, guys from Hazleton have street smarts. Madden has street smarts. He used it really well last night, I thought.
He's a darn good manager.
What he did in Tampa, and then moves up to Chicago, and all of a sudden, I mean, they already started the process of building, but
they showed a stat last night that I had forgotten about, but I remember it earlier on in the season. I just lost track of the exact number. The improvement from last year to this year was like 24 wins.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's really huge. And I agree with you.
What helped them in the 24 wins, though, is that Jake Arrieta and John Lester suddenly were their 1-2 guys at the front of the rotation.
That was big. Having a guy that a two that can hit the ball, you know, that hit Schwarber hit over the – he hit it into downtown Pittsburgh. He just didn't go into the Allegheny.
Yeah, he crushed that thing.
It was down around the U.S. Steel building, I think, is where they actually found the ball early this morning. It was still rolling.
I said to Steve this morning, I said, you can put your best defensive team on the field. It's hard to catch those balls that are that far over the fence.
You needed a boat in the Allegheny River to catch that ball. Yeah. Holy cow.
But again, who started him? Yeah. Madden started him last night. Okay, he's had 8 starts in right field all year.
Yeah,
and 8.
Good man. And the I think the other part of it was that Hurdle sent a message to his team by not putting Alvarez at first base to start the game. Now everyone's saying, well, he's a lousy fielder and he's had errors and all that stuff.
Right.
But he's the slugger on the team. And he can power the ball by benching him and putting someone who's batting about 235 or 240 in his spot with very little power. I'm not sure what the rest of the players thought about that, because my understanding is within the Pirate clubhouse, Pedro is really well liked by the rest of his teammates. Popular guy, etc.
Not only that, who's the guy that hit .500 against the Cardinals in the division series 2 years ago? He's been pretty good in the postseason.
Yeah, and so putting him on the bench.
Those were all tone setters, Bob.
They're
all tone setters.
When I saw the lineup, I went, oh, crap. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, I saw the lineup and I thought, I looked at Madden's lineup and I looked at Hurdle's lineup. And I looked at, and the first thing I said was, Madden gets it.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, the second thing is that was a real devastating loss for the fans of the Pirates, for Iron City Beer. They won't be selling much Iron City Beer for the rest of this year.
Actually, they may be selling more.
Today they are. Everyone's crying in it. But down the road, the fans of Pittsburgh and Western Pennsylvania, Eastern Ohio, West Virginia, that huge Pirate fan base is absolutely devastated this morning.
Yeah. And the one-game playoffs, an awfully tough thing to go through and to not win. The Pirates have now lost their last 3 winner-take-all games.
Yes, they have.
Because they lost Game 5 to the Cardinals, and then last year lost to San Francisco, now this one. Look, they've got 3 more years in this window.
Yeah.
After this 3-year window is up, then I really think it becomes let's see how we can find another window of opportunity. They don't have much more time left in it, in the 3 years that they have. And by the way, baseball, the only consideration they're giving right now in terms of changing the playoff format is that they're considering maybe reshuffling the teams after the 1-game playoff, where, for example, the Cardinals would not be playing the Cubs next. The Cardinals would be playing the Mets next, and the Dodgers would have played the Cubs. Because that would have been 1 through 4, you know, 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3. Right now, the wild card winner automatically faces the team with the best record. So that's why the Cubs are playing the Cardinals next. Baseball's considering reshuffling, but after the wild card game, they are not considering a 1-5 to determine who the wild card teams are.
What about a best of three for the wild card instead of best of one? I mean, that's one of the issues is you got one pitcher like an Arrieta, like the guy from San Francisco that gets hot at the end of the year, and it negates a whole 162-game season.
You know, but you also pay a price for that, too. Arrieta cannot make two starts against the Cardinals. He can only make one because you have to play. He had to pitch this game. So it means he can't pitch again probably to what, game three, I would guess, that he'd pitch. So, I mean, that's part of the penalty of being in the wild card game. Best out of three while being nice. Now you're really lengthening the season more. You'd have to cut the season back to 154 games, I think, to do that.
It goes to December anyway, so what's the problem? I mean, it's a long season.
And by the way, for the Pirates, the timing of all this is bad. Because in the last 3 years, they've hosted the wild card game. What does that tell you? That means under the old format, they would have been the wild card team. Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We want to see you in a Kia.
Sunbury Motors Kia. This month at Sunbury Motors Kia is a spooktacular sales event for a limited time only.
What does a spooky deal mean?
Really, really good and spooky.
Just stop. But yes, the deals at Sunbury Motors Kia are spooky good this month. But not because of Halloween. Kia has authorized us to provide employee pricing on all models this month. Plain and simple, you pay invoice minus all factory incentives on every model we have. That means the very best deals of the year from the dealer you already know to give you great deals year-round. Big savings on the 7-passenger Sereno SUV, the agile handling and first-class features of the Sportage, and the fuel-sipping Optima. Plus, with 0% financing available and a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty, these deals are scary good.
Now that's the holiday spirit.
Owning a brand new Kia is more affordable than ever at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
All right, we hit the bottom of the hour. Can't wait to talk high school football the next half hour. Doug Birdsong at 4:06 today. We'll try to bring Doug out of his shell. Always enjoy talking to Doug. Great perspective. Really knows the game. What are you rolling your eyes at?
He's got a heck of a partner.
Absolutely. He is iconic in his calls of basketball and football.
I thought he worked alone in basketball.
He
does.
That's
what I mean. my seats are right by his microphone. He is hilarious in basketball. Just love the guy.
Kevin says, I can't get away with anything.
No.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Day 5 here at the Chateau without hot water. 5 days.
Really? 5 days?
Why bother having a warranty?
The repairman backed up, or?
No, they have a process. Look, do you think they want to replace it for free?
Probably not, no.
No. Day 5, no hot water. So the Chateau is running on cold right now.
Thank goodness it's not January.
The process has been unbelievable. I finally said to the person on the phone, I'm not going to get into what company, that's irrelevant. But this for story's sake, I said to the person on the phone, I said, you know, I checked your website. Yeah. I said, if I buy one today from your company, they offer same day installation. I said, so in other words, I said, but if you already have my money, And I said, you know, we then go to the back of the bus.
Same day installation, 7 day repair. All of a sudden, it's like being on an episode of Survivor.
I said, you offer same day installation if I buy it new. So if I buy one today, you'll give me one, right? And you'll put it in right away. But, you know, we already have your money, so really, we don't need the pain of this. So like, okay. I said, I think I got it. All right. Let's get rolling here. Supposedly somebody's coming tonight. Whatever. I had to go out and actually buy one myself and just whatever. As long as there's hot water tomorrow. There's only so many times you can go to the football locker room. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, no. They've all said, hey, look, you do whatever you need. Just do it. I said, okay, fine. Yeah. Let's start out with Pat O'Brien. Mifflinburg's at Sealands Grove. Pat and Ryan Brandt will have the call on Eagle 107 at 6 tomorrow night. Pat, welcome. Great to have you with us. So what do you think of this matchup?
Thanks, Steve. It's always great to check in weekly basis here in high school football, obviously. Can't believe we're on week 6 already. Sealands Grove, big win a week ago, getting to 5-0. They are 2-0 in our conference. They return back to conference play to take on the Mifflinburg Wildcats. And it's no secret, Steve. Mifflinburg is struggling this year, and a lot of it has to do with turnovers and their defense. The defense giving up almost 41 points a game. Now, they've had a pretty tough schedule the first 5 weeks when you think about playing Southern, Montoursville, and Jersey Shore, three out of the five opponents they had, plus a 20-0 loss to Danville, and they lost to Shikellamy 27-14. So nothing to sneeze at in terms of their schedule. But again, turnovers and their inability to stop teams have led to their 0-5 record. For Sealands Grove, 5-0, a big win, come from behind victory. Their second of the year where they had to face some adversity, come back and win. They beat the Berwick Bulldogs 17-14. Javon Batts with the 6-yard touchdown run as time was winding down. So a big win for them on the road. Now, you know, the talk is this week is trap game. You know, is this the one between two big games, Berwick, and the next week is Montoursville? So Coach Derek Hicks for Sealands Grove is going to have to rely on his seniors, his 21 seniors, and to be able to maturely prepare for a Mifflinburg team that on paper they are much better than and should beat. And a lot of that is because Sealands Grove defense has only given up 44 points all season long. That's less than 9 points a game and puts them ninth in AAA across the state of Pennsylvania. So, you know, a big thing for Sealands Grove is the defense, obviously, and the maturity. Also, on the offensive side, their sophomore quarterback is growing week in and week out. So look forward to seeing him against the Mifflinburg team this week. And we're excited. We're back home in Sealands Grove, Harold L. Bolick Memorial Stadium, as Sealands Grove looks to go to 6-0, 3-0 in conference play, and Derek Hicks looking to get his sixth win as the head coach of Sealands Grove Seals. So we're excited. It's going to happen on Eagle 107, obviously, and just can't wait to get this one underway. Hopefully the weather doesn't permit us from playing. Thanks, Steve, as always, for checking in with me, and we look forward to Mifflinburg and the Sealands Grove Seals.
Absolutely, Pat. Appreciate it. Great job, by the way. You and Ryan Brandt do a great job. Had a chance to listen to the last couple of games. Little, you know, tidbits here and there. Really nice, the job the two of you do. It'll be a 6 o'clock airtime tomorrow at Eagle 107 with a 7 o'clock kickoff. Shikellamy is back in action as they play at Central Mountain. It'll be Kevin Herr and the Chief Dave Ritchie. Guys, welcome. Great to have you with us. Dave, we'll start with you. And progress. You want to see progress. If you had to pick an area of the football team that you think is better now than 3 weeks ago, what would it be?
It seems to be getting better as the season has gone along. I think they've grown. I mean, there was a lot of inexperience there, and especially with losing Sean Turber at safety, there was a little bit of a doubt as to if they were Braves were going to be able to handle the passing. And actually in the Montoursville game, they did pretty well. It was just Montoursville's running attack was so good. But I would say that the secondary seems to have gotten better.
When you lose a two-way player like that, Kevin, what's the impact, the domino effect, to lose a two-way player like that?
Well, they lost a lot of leadership in Sean Turber, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And then you look at the defensive side. He's also the safety there. He's been the safety valve and has three interceptions on the year just by basically ball hawking. I mean, he knows exactly what he can do and what he can't do out there by playing that position week in and week out for the last couple of years. That's what you lose. You lose the experience and you lose the leadership. You take now and at the running back side, you have about four or five guys rotating in. Three of those guys are actually sophomores and freshmen right now. And as Chief just said, I thought the secondary got much better with Sean Turber, even though he was out of the game, because Tate Krankowski played a little more comfortable at safety. So don't be surprised if they jumble things up a little bit in the secondary and maybe give Sean an opportunity to roam a little bit more with Tate being more comfortable at safety.
Dave, based on the fact that it's Central Mountain and their style of play, what's on your checklist tomorrow night as to swing areas that will swing the game one way or the other?
Well, I think the one of the most important things is Coach Tilford's probably telling his players, you know, we're 1-4 at this point, and we're going to have to start a new season. And I think they're looking to a schedule that might not be as I don't know what word I'd want to use.
Daunting.
They played some really good, really good
as
football
daunting.
Teams. Yeah, as daunting. And I think that's going to help them as they get ready to play Central Mountain. Confidence has a lot to do with football when you play football games, and
no doubt.
I think that might help them out. I think they probably match up pretty good against Central Mountain. So, I mean, if you look at comparative scores, Lewisburg shut Central Mountain out last week, and Shikellamy scored several times against Lewisburg. But I think the big key is if Sean Turber's back. That's something that would I think definitely would throw or swing the win over to Shikellamy. I really do. But without him, I think they have a good chance. I really do.
Play with the lead. That's really important. Play with the lead.
Yeah,
Dave,
exactly.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Good luck with the broadcast tomorrow night, 6:30 the airtime at WKOK with Kevin Herr.
Thank you, Steve. Have a good day.
You too, Dave. Thanks so much. WMLP in Milton. Steve Williams will join us because on Talk Radio 1380, he'll have the call tomorrow of Milton at Montoursville. Steve, I'll start with you as to what I've asked the last couple. Pick an area of the football team that you think is better than maybe it was 3 weeks ago.
Well, I'd have to say the running game, as hard as that is to believe, we've seen Brandon Stokes just get stronger with each game. One of the reasons is that they have to rely so heavily on him because they really don't have much of a passing game per se. But you can see Brandon as the game goes on. He doesn't seem to wear down, and he just runs harder and harder. I wouldn't want to have to try and tackle that kid. He's a beast.
Well, let me ask you about that for a moment, because there's no doubt that every game that Milton goes into, he's going to have a target on him. I mean, he's the guy you have to stop. What is his makeup as a running back that makes him effective?
He's just got so much determination and probably a little bit of a hard head. You can just see that, you know, when he gets close to that goal line, he wraps both arms around the football, you know, puts his head down, and you're not going to bring him down. He's just an amazing amount of determination and also a lot of really good sportsmanship from the kid. Really like to see what he does out there.
All right, what are some of the keys, some of the swing things in this Montoursville game that in order to give Milton a realistic shot in the fourth quarter, they really have to have?
Well, they need some more bodies. They went into the last game with only 25 kids in uniform because of illnesses and injuries. Four of those guys didn't walk off the field on their own. It looked like one of them might have a break in an ankle. He's going to be okay. They've got the starting running back and also linebacker Lance Fogelman looks like he's going to be out for a couple of weeks with a strained MCL. So it's really about the body count, if anything. They've got to shift some kids around into the spot. You know, Fogelman was a big impact player, especially on defense, and they're going to have to try and fill those voids because of those injuries.
Steve, good luck with the broadcast tomorrow night. You'll be working, as always, with Brett Michaels on Talk Radio 1380 WMLP at 6 as you hit the road for Milton at Montoursville. Thanks a lot for the time.
Ready, thanks.
All right, let's move over to Matt Cotrillo with Lewisburg playing at Central Columbia. You'll hear that on the Valley 100.9 tomorrow night. So, Matt, same question to you to open up as I gave everyone else. What's better on this football team? What area of the team is better compared to 3 weeks ago?
Well, it's the defense in general, Steve, specifically the run defense, as Lewisburg has now pitched two straight shutouts with a 37-0 win over Central Mountain last week on homecoming. Previous was a 33-0 win over Milton. And they've had to face, you know, the running game where it's been the bread and butter of those two offenses for the Wildcats and for the Black Panthers. And they did that. They shut down Brandon Stokes. Last week they shut down Hunter Weaver, who was the only person in the run game because Central Mountain didn't have Justin Neff last week at quarterback, who can be that dual threat type of guy. So it was there for the taking, and Lewisburg has certainly done that. So run defense will be key again this week for a Central Columbia team that is 0-5, so they're going to be another desperate team looking for that first win of the year. They haven't been able to really move the football that well overall offensively, but when you look at what's probably a little bit better is their running game, and that'll be one thing that they'll be looking on this week following that offensive line that has a lot of senior leadership on that line, and they'll be trying to exploit that a little bit on Lewisburg and keep Lewisburg's offense off the field.
Usually when you lose a game, you make an adjustment or two. After they lost that game to Mount Carmel, what adjustment or two have you seen in them that's allowed them to be successful the last 2 weeks?
I think it's really just simply being ready to play and then going back to the run defense when you look at it specifically, you know, and the X's and O's part. You know, they admitted that they were a little bit overconfident going into that Mount Carmel game, and they knew that could never happen again if they want to make that next step where they want to be and make a deep run in the district playoffs. And you certainly have seen that swagger this weekend, and it starts from the seniors and it goes all the way down to the young guys. You know, Stone Hollenbach came in, the freshman quarterback, and ran two touchdown drives to start off the second half, filling in for Trent Gower, who's a little bit banged up. AJ Ramirez, who's only a sophomore, he had over 100 yards rushing last week, now leads the team in carries with 50. So it just starts from the top all the way down, from the coaching staff too. They always have these guys ready to go this each and every week, and that's a credit to head coach Michael Ferrero and his staff.
What makes Matt Central Columbia a threat?
Well, basically, I would go with their offensive line. As I mentioned, they have a lot of experience there, so they're going to be trying to win those battles in the trenches. Again, trying to establish that run game going. They have junior Aaron Farver at quarterback, and they'll look to try and get the pass game going, led by senior wide receiver Eli Petersheim, who's also one of their top defensive backs as well. There was a lot of expectations for him this year on the defensive side of the ball, and so you'll be looking at him. For the running back end, it's going to be Brennan Cook, who's got just only 178 yards rushing this year. But again, that's probably going to be where the Blue Jays will look to establish themselves offensively, and again, to try and win the time of possession battle and keeping Lewisburg's offense off the field. And that's something that Central Mountain actually did last week against Lewisburg when they were on the road for Lewisburg's homecoming. And it worked for the first quarter. They took a little bit more than half the clock off the first quarter before Lewisburg even saw their possession. Now, they were able to go ahead and win the game pretty handedly. But, you know, if the Blue Jays take a look at that, they can make, and if they make some stops defensively, you know, this could be a different ball game. And Lewisburg, of course, will be trying to prevent that and take care of business here tomorrow night.
Well, Matt will be with Justin Michaels tomorrow night on 100.9 The Valley, beginning at 6:30 as Lewisburg plays at Central Columbia. Matt, thanks so much for the time. Good luck tomorrow night.
Thanks so much, Steve. As always, pleasure to be on the show.
All right, Matt Cotrillo with us. All right, so the games tomorrow night, Mifflinburg at Selins Grove. Selins Grove undefeated on the year, 7 o'clock the kickoff, 6 o'clock the airtime on Eagle 107. You'll have also tomorrow night Milton at Montoursville on Talk Radio 1380 at 6:30, 7 o'clock the kickoff, Lewisburg at Central Columbia, 7 o'clock the kick, 6:30 the airtime on 100.9 The Valley, and the game you'll hear on News Radio 1070 WKOK, Shikellamy at Central Mountain tomorrow night with Kevin Herr and the Chief Dave Ritchie. 7 o'clock the kick, 6:30 the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Back with more in a moment.